on amendment number three.
Jet.
Amendment number three?
Mm-hmm.
Motion is to rescind our action. Secretary, call the roll.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was my understanding that you didn't have enough money to keep that person in that position. You would have had to lay that person off, so you'd RSA'd some money over from child support enforcement to be able to use the expertise. Does that mean your vacancy situation is still such that you don't have enough money to keep that person working even without this reduction?
Through internal management and reorganization, should we receive this amendment, we'd be able to keep this person on, or should we not receive the decrement, we would be able to keep this person on during fiscal year 93.
Okay, thank you.
Secretary, call the roll.
Question is rescind.
The motion is to rescind our action.
Representative Barnes.
No.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jackal.
Yes.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
Yes.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
Yes.
Representative Ballmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
No.
Representative McClain.
No.
Representative Navarre.
No. Motion carries. We have not adopted that amendment. We can vote on it again. We just rescinded our action. We can vote on it again. I don't expect anything to change.
Stick all the way.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Representative Ballmer. That's why I wanted to break off early.
I would assume it would be a waste of time. I moved the amendment originally, and if you're going to vote to rescind it, it would be kind of dumb to change your vote afterwards. At least I think anybody was dumb to do that.
But rescind it.
Transportation public facilities.
I think procedurally or anything else.
I don't know.
Amendment number one.
Amendment number one. DOT?
Amendment number one is would actually increase the rural air.
Tom, can you help me? I'm down there. Mr. Chairman, will you ask the question again?
In the retirement benefits, have we left now the 780.9, or is it 780.9 less 26.4?
That's correct.
The less 26.4?
Yes.
Okay. There's one amendment also in our packets. Air Guard Facilities Maintenance, technical amendment. Their objection, without objection, amendment.
And one in the packet is accepted.
Have a technical amendment.
Yes, Representative Boyer, we're on natural resources now.
There needs to be a technical amendment. Yesterday when we moved section, and I think 24 from the front section and moved it into the respective body of each of the departments, that was the section that had been proposed for wetlands, the wetlands program. Inadvertently, because of that language in the front section, in DNR's budget, the $125,000 appropriation was characterized as GF program receipts. It should more appropriately be characterized as GF, just GF, and so I would move that technical change. It was an inadvertence in the way that it was worded yesterday.
Okay. Is there any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. Representative Boyer?
I've got some amendments, but Representative Ballmer has amendment number one.
Madam Chairman?
Representative Larson?
Co-Chairman Navarro just told me we'd better clarify in regard to military and veterans affairs that 26.9 under the National Guard benefits that we reduced was the 92 supplemental requests. So we want that listed as a decrement there.
So the amount left in that program is 780.9.
Right.
Okay, so it would... Okay, and I think I'm going to also move that the amount that we reduced the debt gratuity by, 230,000, be put into service programs within the department.
I'm going to object this for this reason, Mr. Chairman. We have increased the amount of money slightly, I think 30,000 last year. We discussed reducing one position from range 24 to range 21. But I guess I'd like to see more of what would be done at that 230,000 before we simply say to increase it. So maybe if we could leave that open until tomorrow, we might be able to find that answer out or something.
Okay, we'll deal with it tomorrow then. I'll withdraw my motion.
Tomorrow?
The next time we meet
on budget, I'm expecting that we're not going to finish up tonight, but yeah. I could be wrong.
Yes.
I'm very optimistic normally.
I do.
Department of Natural Resources.
We just made a technical amendment.
Under the wetlands.
Homer.
And what was the technical amendment? It
had to do with the fund source change on the wetlands. Yesterday when we moved the front section of the budget that dealt with wetlands into the body of the budget, so there was a technical problem with the funding source for the wetlands DNR piece of that. So.
Okay. We're on amendment number one then by Ulmer, Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Chairman, yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, I'm sort of losing track of time, when we talked about the Buy Alaska Grown program, I asked if there was some way of getting some program receipts from the industry to help pay for it the way the fish industry used to pay for the promotion of purchasing or buying fish, and the tourism industry helps to underwrite the cost of promoting tourism, and it wasn't real obvious that there was a way to make that happen, so it just seemed to me maybe an alternative funding source for this program would be from the ARLF. We returned $200,000 to the ARLF, to the fund. Instead of that, I just think it ought to replace the general fund dollars that are being used for this program. I don't pretend to be an expert in the program, but I think what it does is it labels Alaskan-grown produce as Alaskan-grown produce, which is sort of a nice PR thing, but $200,000 for that nice PR, and it just seems to me it ought to come out of the ARLF instead of the general fund.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, I'll just object, and I'm objecting for this reason. This is a loan program, and the proceeds, of course, from the loans keep the loan program revolving. And in spite of all the bad press that the agricultural industry in Alaska has gotten the past few years, this loan program can be one of the successes, and it's the one that's been keeping the small farmer, the vegetable farmer, potato farmer, and so forth, going. And I think if we would check the delinquency rate in those loans, other than the Point McKinsey and Delta project, you would find that it's one of the better loan programs that the state all has ever established, in that it has a very low delinquency. And I guess I'm just trying to keep it whole here.
Mr. Chairman, I just note, I can't find the front section of the budget right now amongst all my papers, but yesterday when we dealt with it, we returned to the general fund two other loan programs. The Fisheries Revolving Loan Fund and what other one? I can't remember. What was the other one?
EDRLF.
Okay, and we said there, sure, it would be nice to keep those loan programs whole also, to keep all that money in the fish loan fund so that there'd be more money available for the fishermen. But I'm just saying, you know, we took it out of there and returned it to the general fund. I think we'd be consistent today to take a small amount out of the ARLF, and we're not even returning it to the general fund for other people to use. We're returning it to agriculture itself in terms of helping agriculture. So I think it's compatible. I think it's consistent with what we did yesterday.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether the involving loan fund board would support the Buy Alaska program out of their proceeds. I would assume that they would, but I don't know for sure. So this is having us make an assumption then that they're willing to use their loan proceeds for a program.
Sharon Barton, but the Deputy Commissioner for DNR may have some thoughts on that, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, I wouldn't presume to speak for the board. I have no idea what the board would say about this proposal. This has been a swinging pendulum over the years. I've been with the department in the early, mid-80s. Marketing activities were funded out of the loan fund fund source. Later in the late 80s, those funds were restored with general funds. So it's been a changing scene, but I believe the statute speaks to funding marketing activities out of the loan fund as being appropriate.
Any further questions?
Call for the question.
Motion is to adopt amendment number one offered by Ulmer, and it's changing the general fund and putting it into ARLF.
Mm-hmm. I know. No, that's how it passed.
Representative Larson?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Sharp? Representative Palmer?
Yes.
Representative Boyer?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Jacob?
No.
Representative Barr?
No.
Representative McClain?
Yes.
5-5. Number two, I'll move amendment number two. Basically, this is as a result of a court case. The Division of Parks has suggested they will no longer enforce on the Kenai River. And so I contacted public safety, and for $30,000 they could have three people for 3 months on the river doing enforcement. And I think that it makes sense, and it takes it from the parks budget, so it would be a zero increase in the budget. It just shifts funds.
Mr. Chairman, could we ask the department what the effect would be on the Division of Parks?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boyer, the situation is a temporary one resulting from a magistrate's decision to the effect that the certified rangers from the Division of Parks did not have the authority to enforce Title 16 regulations and law. We have appealed that decision and believe that we will get a quick and we're optimistic, a favorable reversal of that decision. If not, it will take a regulation change in the parks regulations to remedy the situation. We would intend to pursue that regulation change. We will have 5 commissioned officers on the river this summer, and they will be continue to enforce parks regulations and be eyes and ears for the habitat division. We would like to suggest that we not transfer the money in the base, but rather wait to see what happens with this decision on appeal. And should we not get a favorable decision on appeal, we would like to work with the Department of Public Safety and with Habitat as well. And we could, if necessary, RSA funds to them for this field season or until such time as that regulation change could be made. And certainly intent language in the budget would be very acceptable.
If the court has said that you can't enforce Title 16, all you need is a regulation saying you can't?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it has to do with the Kenai regulations themselves rather than our general regulations. In all other areas of the state, we do enforce Title 16 regulations, but because of a fluke in those regulations that was not realized before, he has construed them to read that we can't. It would just take a change in that regulation.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barnes.
Do we not have fishing and game wildlife enforcement officers on the river? Well, it would seem to me that that would be the appropriate people to have on the river instead of parks. Well, parks, certainly they can enforce habitat. It seems to me that if we're going to put enforcement people on the river, it should be fish and wildlife protection officers.
Yeah, the permitting, it's in the Kenai River Special Management Area that the legislature set up, I think, in 1985.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
Set up, I don't think it was 85, though.
84?
84.
84 or 85? 84. Okay, well, whenever it was set up. And the permitting for the guides is done, and the fee is charged through the Division of Parks within DNR, correct?
Correct.
And currently, for the last several years, Parks has been enforcing on the river, but I think the case dealt with a habitat violation. But nevertheless, I guess it doesn't allow for any Title 16.
Mr. Chairman, as a matter of efficiency, because that's the reason our officers are commissioned, is just precisely so we don't have to have fish and wildlife officers and parks officers stomping the same ground. We find it's confusing to the public where they have to deal with two different kinds of officers enforcing in the same area and try to avoid that situation in parks areas where we can as a matter of efficiency.
Representative Barnes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as a matter of policy, I think that we should have fish and wildlife officers on the river better than park people, because the river is truly not a park. It just happens to be going through the land base. And it seems to me that with the fish that swim in that river and the kind of resource that is, that you should have fish and wildlife protection rather than park people.
You know how much we love, you love fish.
Hate them.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
I think I support this. The only question I had is, for fish and wildlife enforcement, you got to have a body that's presently working. And I guess it's going to be transferring them from one place to another for a 3-month period of time. Why is there an increase in the budget? It isn't for personnel, is it? Or what would the increase be for?
This was the cost that the Department of Public Safety said that they would need in order to put 3 men, or, excuse me, 3 officers. three officers on the river for 3 months during the summer, which is the peak of the fishing season.
That might be relocation costs or something.
I think it's the cost of the
overtime.
Okay.
Part-time seasonal project.
Your objection? Without objection, it's adopted.
Sure. Are we going to take a break here soon? I see some of us are slumping in our chairs, including myself.
Okay, how about if we take a break?
Well, if we do, we need
to. Oh, we finished DNR.
Okay, finished DNR. Okay, DNR, Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here are three proposals that have been brought forward, one from the Commissioner's office, one from Representative Brown, and the third from me, and I have an actual change in the Interim Mental Health Commission one. So let me, if I can, I can take that first. I don't think I've been rethinking this, and looking in the Department of Law's budget, we have $1 million in the contractual line, and what I would do is propose, there shows as amendment number three, what I would do is propose the following language be added to the contractual line in the Department of Law's budget under legal services, mental health lands component, that the intent would read $15,000 is allocated for travel, office materials, and telephone costs associated with the operation of the Interim Mental Health Commission. I think with $1 million ability there, with that intent, they could clearly allow for the travel associated with the Interim Mental Health Commission, and I would move that to the Department of Law's budget.
Is there objection? Without objection, that's accepted, so we don't need this increment, correct?
We don't need an increment, it's just shifted.
Representative Boyer.
I will move amendment number two and ask that Representative Brown speak to it.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. Briefly, this expertise that was provided by these people is necessary to put in the Conservation Commission. They have no one now doing the economic analysis that needs to be done about reservoir management. I would point out that in 1987 we amended and increased the conservation oil and gas conservation tax. The amount being collected under that tax, which is 4 mils per barrel, exceeds the amount being spent on the commission by roughly $400,000. And therefore, we have established a tax to fund this agency, and I believe these positions are very necessary and needed at this time in this agency. So I believe this is an appropriate expenditure. There is being a tax collected now for this purpose, and I think it was a mistake to ever have reduced the commission to the point where it could not address these issues. So I'd urge the committee's support for this. This would put the people in the commission back at the level that they were at in about FY87, and they'd been significantly higher than that in previous years in terms of number of personnel.
Is there objection?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is objection.
Let's vote.
Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
No.
Representative Elmore.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barron.
Nope.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jackler.
No.
Representative Coppin.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative Nicholson.
Yes.
Representative McClain.
No.
5-6.
Motion fails. Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for the adoption of amendment number one, which would reflect a restoration of the commissioner's office, and it's a fairly complex way that this occurred, and I'll let Ms. Barton speak to why this is necessary, but without the addition of the $382,500 there, we will be forcing upon the commissioner's office a very hefty reduction. As you may recall from yesterday, we already have forced upon them an additional $524,600 worth of unallocated reductions. This would be, if we don't grant this restoration, we will add to it the 382.5 for a total, almost a total reduction of almost $1 million, well, it's almost $1 million, 977.5, and I don't think that was our intent, but I'll let Sharon speak to how we got into this situation.
Mr. Chairman, Representative...
Is there objections to the amendment?
You need to walk through.
The verbiage is a little confusing. If we're restoring, and it's funded elsewhere, you know...
Let's hear how that happens.
It is confusing. It has to do with the timing of the decisions on the governor's budget when the original governor's budget was written. First of all, a late decision was made to proceed with wetlands funding. And so $250,000 was put in the front section of the bill for wetlands funding. The agreement was, however, that was general fund funding. The agreement was that we would take a like reduction in the budget somewhere. Because of the timing, the late decision, we did not have time to spread that. So had it represented it as a miscellaneous reduction, a temporary reduction in the commissioner's office, and intended to spread that at governor's amended or later in the budget process. Likewise, with an additional decision of a reduction we had proposed that was not acceptable to the governor's office, we did not have time to spread that additional 132.5, totaling then the 450 or the 382.5 in miscellaneous reduction. We would have spread that reduction in the governor's amended, but we were already in the process of formulating these proposals with the House at that time. So we took care of it in our proposal to the subcommittee, which was a package of reductions, of opportunities to enhance revenues, both to cover costs of programs and for additional revenues into the general fund. And this amount was factored into that, or spread at that time. Because of the way we've handled the budget, it now needs to appear as an increment, when in fact it's our position that it's been dealt with in the cuts already. Does that only confuse it?
Yes.
Worse?
It is confusing.
It is
great.
Well, 132.5 is the number we had for fares, which we subsequently reduced to 100,000. That's where the 132.5 piece was. The wetlands piece we now have at 125,000 GF. So that's where the two amounts came from that were unallocated reductions as the budget came to us.
Is there objections?
Yes.
Representative Phillips.
Object.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Thank you. Didn't Commissioner Hines testify that the wetlands money was going to be program receipts? I realize we've changed it to general fund now, but it was always planned to be program receipts, wasn't it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, there were two components to the DNR wetlands funding. One was the program receipts increment, and one was a general fund increment. When we backed off of the 250 general fund down to 125 general fund for wetlands, that was part of a realization that we were not going to be able to forge ahead as quickly as possible this year on wetlands, and would probably not be generating those program receipts this year.
Okay, there is an objection. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
No.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jacko.
No.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
Yes.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
Yes.
Representative
Ballmer?
Yes.
No. Representative
Barr?
Yes. Representative
Jackson?
I already voted.
Excuse
me, Seven yea, four nay.
Okay, and motion carries. Amendment number four by Representative Mackey.
Jack.
Anybody want to offer it? It's reinstating the state fair of money.
Object.
Yeah, just reinstates the 25% reduction that we took. Anybody want to offer it?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Larson.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we restore it to a 10% reduction. To go along with one of the motions we had that we restored to the 10%.
Oh, yeah. Economic development?
Is that another one?
Art.
Economic development, right? Is that what it is?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I object, and if I could speak, please. I believe the other grant we restored, it was pointed out to us very carefully that the other training grants were reduced only 10%, and that particular one was reduced 25%, and that representative felt put upon. So we rectified our wrong. But I don't know that fairs have anything to do with those particular kinds of grants. So therefore, I don't think that we should increase this funding, because every year we get more and more and more fairs, and we can't keep getting more and more and more fairs every year.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Larson.
Yes, one of the biggest employers from youth service and work and so forth in the summer is the state fair. One of the largest part-time employers that we have in the valley is the Alaska State Fair. It has some year-round positions, but it has many short-term seasonal positions for young people. So it's an employment agency, and if we use 10% for employment training, we might just as well use 10% for putting people to work.
Okay, the Representative Kopanen.
Yes, it strikes me that this is, in essence, a formula funding question, and regardless of which way it's decided, it should probably go into that particular bill. And $32,000 doesn't really sound like the amount that's going to attract hordes of new fares.
Mm-hmm. Motion is to reduce the reduction from 25% to 10%. There is objection. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Ballmer. No. Representative Boyer?
No.
Representative Barnes?
No.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Jacko?
Yes.
Representative Kopanen?
Yes.
Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Sharp?
No.
Representative Navarre?
No.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, as long as we're here,
always vote to spend
on that issue. In the intent packet that's in the stack of things here, the intent statement number 7, we can either act on it now or wait, but it does the spread of the $100,000, as I indicated to the committee. It takes and in a prorated way and spreads the $100,000, similar to how the $132,500 was spread.
So where are we at?
That's just in the intent package. Package that everybody has, it says intent language. I just bring it to your attention so we can either deal with it now or deal with it when we do intent, but it is there for the committee's information.
Mr. Chairman, could we maybe put some intent language in the budget under fairs? It says we'll accept no new ones.
Sure.
Number
7.
We don't have to do that. We just don't have to accept them.
Sorry.
Pretty much up to us. We tell ourselves we don't want to accept anymore. Amendment number 5 by Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 5.
There are objections.
Objection.
There is objection.
Let me see.
Representative Brown?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit the other day when we were considering shifting half of the cost of this project to the permanent fund earnings reserve. We did not do that, but I feel they could have a modest general fund reduction and still have a healthy amount left in that project as well as in that component. And I think of all the activities in DNR, this would be a lower priority than some of the others, as it is not a specific thing, but rather ongoing mineral assessment, and we'll be incrementally reducing that by $100,000 if this is accepted.
Coleman and Boyer.
Well, just as a friendly amendment, I wonder if Representative Barnes, I'm going to do it. Consider Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, perhaps we could fund one petroleum economist with part of the savings.
Representative Boyer?
Well, Mr. Chairman, remember, we still have an unallocated reduction in this department of $524,600. And my guess is that you're going to get this reduction because, and so it would be heaped on top of that. I think that this division will probably take a whack, if not of $100,000, perhaps even some more. So you're going to see the reduction. And I would oppose this additional reduction.
Yeah, I'll just say that was my thought in putting it forward, was to help cover the other increment that I was proposing.
And you don't want to offer it?
No, I'm offering it. I think it's a valid reduction.
Okay, the motion is to accept this reduction. Do you want to amend it?
Well, I would like to amend it and have some of the savings from this reduction go toward the petroleum economist, which I think is definitely related to our ability to generate revenue in the future. So I'm not sure what the appropriate amount is. It looks like 180 would have funded one petroleum economist, two engineer assistants, and some contractual. So maybe I just defer to Representative Brown as to the appropriate amount.
It's all GF.
Well, I know it's GF, but if you're taking it out of one place to put it into the other, perhaps we can do a trade.
Good deal. Deal.
You don't need to do
you
that.
You decrement it here so that you can increment it in the other place.
Yeah, we already added the other piece.
No, we didn't.
The other piece failed. The other piece could be reduced. Why don't we leave them separate issues? If this passes, we'll try the other one in a reduced amount.
Okay.
Your choice.
Motion is to accept this reduction. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Boyer.
Check. No.
That's a new one.
Representative Barnes.
No.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
We can take a break. We can quit for the night.
Mr. Chairman, before Sharon leaves, there is one additional piece of information that we need to. I have asked the analysts to structure the budget in the same way that it's structured in 92. And that is a number of separate appropriations. And the department came in initially and asked, and the governor's budget was transmitted to us, where they had five appropriations, and that was a collapsing of a number of freestanding appropriations. The department has further asked for an additional collapsing down from five to three appropriations to allow them the flexibility to make some of the unallocated reductions and literally to manage what we've done to them in this whole process. As I said, I've instructed that the budget structure remain the same, but I think it is a legitimate issue given the breadth of reductions we've foisted upon the department, and so it's something we ought to consider giving them that additional flexibility that goes along with the collapsed appropriation structure, or leaving it rigid. I think it's nine separate seven or eight or nine appropriations anyway, and the collapsing would be to three.
What's the recommendation of the subcommittee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I vacillate back and forth on the issue, but perhaps Sharon might have some comments about why the department is looking for the flexibility.
We have found ourselves over the last year or two moving towards something that now we discover has a name in the governor's efficiency report, matrix management. We have done matrix management in a lot of areas of the department previously, mental health, land selections, the way we handled land disposals in the past, etc. We believe we'll be moving more and more in that direction in dealing with resource issues that cross divisional lines. The recent reorganization in the department formally matrixed all the support functions of the department, both administrative and technical. And in order to carry that out without it being very burdensome from an administrative point of view, the fewer appropriations we have, the better. So it doesn't require revised programs every time you want to charge positions that are located in one area of the department off to a project they're working on temporarily. So it would streamline our administrative work a great deal to have fewer appropriations. And I don't believe, thinking of it from your standpoint, where you might worry that we would make program changes different from what we've discussed with you. That certainly isn't our intention. It's simply to give us to be able to streamline the administrative process in doing exactly what we will have contracted with you to do at the end of this session.
Mr. Chairman, I would go ahead and make the motion that we provide for four separate appropriations. They would be management and administration, resource management, mental health lands administration, and fire suppression.
Is there objection?
And I've got the additional paperwork for it.
Without objection, that's accepted. Now that we're finished with DNR, Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, this is only a suggestion. Why don't we break for an hour for lunch, or dinner, and then try to finish the rest of this tonight, and then do the form of this tomorrow. So it's only a suggestion.
We've got Chairman? A good 6 hours worth of amendments left. Representative Larson.
Working longer to vote on a period.
Yeah. I've had a long day here, Mr. Chairman. I lost the winter maintenance on my airports. I lost the Big Lake Hatchery. I lost the pretrial in the Palmer Correctional Center. 5-5 vote, I guess I didn't lose in the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, but I lost the state fairs. With a record like that, I'd just soon call it a day.
It's going to get better. As long as I say I lose along with you, though.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to take the night off myself.
Well, there we get the
unanimous consent. Representative Kopanen.
If we're going to quit now, there is the Women's
Rights
Parade tomorrow at noon, and I do believe that Representative Ulmer and Brown, especially if Representative Ulmer doesn't have a headache by tomorrow, would like to be there, and I certainly would want to be there too.
What time does that start?
It starts at 12. It should be over by 1.
Do you want to start tomorrow at 1?
I'm quitting at 4.
Mr. Chairman, just one concern. We have set April 8th as our deadline to get it to the floor, and there's a lot of processing by staff that has to take place after we finish our decisions. And if we don't start till 1 tomorrow, and if we quit now, we'll never make it.
And I'm quitting at 4.
It'll make it easier for us then, too.
I don't know. If we want to take the night off, maybe we ought to try, like, for one more hour. Go ahead.
take a vote? I don't know.
Are we going to take the intent language?
We'll see how we are now.
Okay.
Department.
You need a gummy bear fix. My husband had to make first for their birthdays at the apartment in September. So he gave them to us for that. I said, do we go to have to get you in Ramona and Fran identification t-shirts? I mean, really.
Yeah.
I decided we'd wear them today. It was a, I need a little lightening up.
I'm not
representing Barnes. We are the terror of the finance committee.
Put it in the
registration.
It's his budget.
Representative Jocko, your budget is ready.
Could you please intersperse these spenders somewhere else on the other side of the table? I got both of them over here on my side. They never know how to say no.
We'll have plenty of time to say no next year.
Okay, we take up the Department of Public Safety budget. First Amendment is by Representative Barnes.
Sure. Chairman, also I hope all the members read this letter that we received from Representative Ivan. Because I did have it reported to me by a member of the Republican caucus about comments that was made to the subcommittee by the commissioner in regard to his lack of regard, I guess, for legislators, that he'd do what he wanted when we left and went home. And in that regard, I would like to move amendment number one. Chairman, Madam Chairman, the reason why I feel that this is important is because I have always been a very strong supporter of public safety. I support the state troopers, but I do not believe that when someone retires under the RIP program, that they should come back to the state under contracts, and we have five or six of those at this time, and there have been others. So therefore, I believe that this contractual line can be reduced without any problem whatsoever.
Well, Representative Barnes, I don't think we're paying five or six of them, $1.5 million. And I'm
just
wondering what else is contained in the contractual line.
We'll find it.
VPSOs?
It's a chargeback.
VPSOs is in, I think, is in the contractual line. We don't have, like, backup.
I think the chargebacks are part of it.
Representative Jackson, we're on amendment number one by Representative Barnes. And amendment is to reduce by $1.5 million the contractual line.
Sure. See that.
Chairman, is there somebody here from public safety?
Chairman, Mike, public safety.
I wonder Mike could tell us what's in there?
Sure.
I'll try to answer any questions you have on my Clemens for the record.
Okay, what else is contained in the contractual line would be the impact of this amendment?
The largest items are related, I think was mentioned, to DP chargeback. There's $477,700 in contractual plus $70,000 for growth in these costs. We also have a transfer of $277,800 from contract jails. In the past, when we are contracting with the cities, we would include dispatch contracts, clerical, etc. So we felt it would be more appropriate to move those to the detachments component. And then there was a transfer of $692,700 from personal services into contractual to cover other costs since we've not been allowed to budget for inflation, and we basically have to cover those costs out of our base budget. So that was a decision that was made.
Is the VPSOs in that?
No, the VPSO is a separate BRU with contract support and administration. And so this is just the troopers, the regional areas, the detachments.
Okay, oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, under the DP chargeback, why is it such a huge amount?
The Department of Administration is changing how they budget for computers, and we were allowed to increase our base budget based upon the Department of Administration's calculations. Dan, you want to add anything on DP chargeback?
Mr. Chairman, Dan Spencer from OMB. This actually, the chargeback that came from the Department of Administration, they calculated what the various departments' needs would be. In total for the Department of Public Safety, it's about $950,000 is what was transferred from DOA to the Department of Public Safety. Half of it is in field services and motor vehicles, the other half is here in detachments. It was also the feeling of the department that they would still be about $140,000 short from their total computing needs to get back to DOA, so they have a $70,000 increment here in contractual, as well as another $70,000 in field services. And it's primarily, it's based on what their historical usage has been, is my understanding.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then, if the figures that have been given to us are correct, their chargeback and their $70,000, that would leave $692,700. So I would amend my motion to 692.7.
To be the reduction, or?
As a reduction, 692.7, rather than the 1532.3.
I have another question.
Representative McLean?
Yes, under that you mentioned $277,000 for contract jails. Could you explain that?
Mr. Chairman, in past years, the contract jails, we contract with, I believe, about 18 municipalities around the state for contract jails. Because we'd be dealing with that municipality, we would include in that one contract funds for shared dispatch or clerical services. We felt that it would be more appropriate to separate that portion of our contractual agreement into a part that would be moved into detachments so that the contracts themselves would be isolated there for care of prisoners. That was an administrative move that we took to make the expenses clearer. That was our intent.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps I didn't make it clear that when I reduced my figure there, I also included the 277.8 for contract jails, which would leave then 692.7 that they have moved from personal services line over to their contractual line.
Your objection to the amendment?
Yes.
Objection to the change or objection to...
No, objection. The amendment, is there objections to amending it to a reduction of 692.7? Without objection, the amendment before us is to reduce the contractual line by 692.7. Is there objection to that?
Objection.
There is objection.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Barnes.
Again, I would point out that this amount of money has been moved from personal services in their budget to contractual, and I believe that this is money that perhaps when they eliminated state troopers' positions that we put back, that this may be part of the money to cover those positions that we put back into the budget.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Larson.
Yeah, we just had gone through a long committee process. It's been a long day, and right now we're got the meat axe out, and I don't know what we're trying to accomplish.
Mr. Chairman, is he referring to this amendment as a meat axe?
Yeah, I think the Alaska State Troopers already have a very large vacancy, and we're reducing them further, and this would even go beyond that.
Well, I would direct your attention to the budget that we passed, Representative Larson, where in that budget they had made a substantial reduction in the state troopers, and we put them back. We covered them with funding. So what I'm saying is that this then makes up the difference for the funding that they had cut out for the state troopers to put them back in again. You could find that in the public safety operating budget, AST detachments, where we reinstated the 14 additional trooper vacancy, 4 from Anchorage, 2 Fairbanks, 2 Palmer, 2 Kotzebue, et cetera, et cetera.
We didn't add anything in there. We just didn't take that reduction.
Well, we didn't take the reduction, but that was a recommendation that from them that we take originally.
That was actually, that one was on their, under their target, that was one of the ways that they would reach their target, was taking a reduction of those 14 additional troopers, and we didn't accept that reduction.
That's true.
So that the personal services line, I believe, is still the same as what was originally proposed, which is
22, 23 troopers.
Mr. Chairman, could we just ask them what they intend to use this money for under the contractual line?
All of it?
All of it.
692.7.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not in a position to answer the detailed question about how the 692 is spread out. I can get back to you. I can assure you that there's no large plan to do a bunch of contracting out. We responded to concerns before about the contracts. You know, there's not a lot of personal service contracts in here. You know, that's probably the quickest answer I could give. You know, we didn't move it into contractual to contract out with former employees. That was not our intent.
Well, I'd like to hold the amendment open because I want to see what it is they're going to use this contractual money for.
Okay. Can you give us a breakdown on that? Representative Jackal?
Sure. No, I didn't.
Okay.
Important news, Mr. Chairman. Final score, Duke 81, Indiana 78.
Money maker. Okay.
NHL strike.
Two, Representative Jacko.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the amendment.
I'll object.
Amendment number two, Mr. Chairman, is represents the increment for VPSOs, public safety officers, the amount of $225,000. That's the amount that was vetoed last year. If this amount isn't included, we would be forced to take vacancies in the VPSO program. This is, I guess you'd say, the same $225,000 that we had in the supplemental that got extracted in the Senate. And maintaining the VPSO people that are up there.
I'll withdraw my objection. Is there objection? That objection, the amendment is adopted. Amendment number three, Representative Jacko.
Move the amendment, and I'll ask Representative Ulmer to speak to the amendment.
Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Chairman, this is a little bit like the one before it because the governor's budget vetoed this line and we restored it in the supplemental and it didn't come back to us from the Senate. And so I, you know, it's trying to keep up with the level of increased violence that the shelters around the state are experiencing. They have been swamped by an incredible load in terms of the number of women and children who are coming through the centers, and this is an attempt to help them keep their heads above water.
Their objection.
Mr. Chair, is this part of the supplement?
No, the supplement, it was part of the supplemental as it passed the House.
Right.
It wasn't part of the final supplemental.
Right.
This would restore it to the level that we funded last year before the governor vetoed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So I'll have to object then.
Executive Sharp.
What's the total in the FY93 budget for this item? Isn't it $2 or $3 million?
Cindy Smith is here from the council if you'd like to ask. Cindy can come forward.
How much is in the budget?
$4.93. Mr. Chairman, the current amount that's still awarded in grants to communities around the state is $5,046,000 in the last year.
How much did we appropriate so far this year in this budget?
The FY92 budget, Mr. Chairman, has $5,909.2 in the grants line item.
Okay, but I'm talking about our semi-closed budget, public safety. How much did we put in there?
I didn't hear the question.
Okay. FY93, as we currently know it today. What? Yes. What you saying?
John Jackson, let's say finance. The governor's submitted request is 5509.2, and it has been, the grants line is 5509.2, and that's it.
I'm talking about this committee's whole. How much did we appropriate so far, or approve so far?
So far?
Not so far. As we know it, FY93, as we know it today.
The only decrease in this budget has been 3.1 for the COLA, and that wouldn't come out of the grants line.
Okay, so it'll be 5.5 then, so far. So this is actually an increase.
Over what's currently in, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because it restores the veto.
Okay.
Further discussion?
Clear.
Representative Barnes.
My understanding of reading this amendment then, that this is a 5% salary increase, correct?
What? No.
And do I have amendment number four?
No, that's the next one, Ramon.
Mr. Brown.
Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman. The yellow pages, unless we've reduced it, which I don't think we did.
I don't think we did either.
Yeah, it says 5,855,000.8.
Mr. Chairman, I'll try one more time. This is the money that the governor vetoed.
Right.
Okay, so we funded it at 400,000 more last year, but the governor vetoed it out. So the purpose of this increment is to do what we tried to do last year, which was fund an additional 400,000.
Which would add to the 5,855,000?
According to Joan, it's 5.5.
Just the grant. The grant line.
Right. Grant line is 5,509.2.
Object.
Further discussion? Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jacko.
Yes.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Shard.
No.
Representative Ballmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
No increase.
Representative McClain.
Yes.
7 yeas, 4 nays.
Motion carries.
I'm looking away.
Okay. More money. I don't know how you guys are going to appropriate it. Taxes. Amendment number 4. Representative Jackal.
You can use your fees on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the amendment.
Checked.
There is objection.
Mr. Chairman, amendment number 4 essentially is a 5% increase in salary to DPSOs. There's been quite a lot of discussion recently about DPSOs and the high level of turnover. And the primary reason for the turnover is an incredibly low salary. And I guess, Mr. Chairman, it's possible that this salary increase, if it were to result in less turnover, it probably result in savings to the state, because every time there's a turnover, you often have to train new people, and the cost of training is probably outweighs this amount here. Present salary for DPSOs is somewhere in the neighborhood of $11 an hour, and it's an incredible amount of responsibility that goes with being a DPSO, putting their lives on the line. They're on call 24 hours. They do everything from stuff that state troopers do to quite a lot of other things in the community, so I think it's probably warranted that they get a 5% salary increase. I don't know if they've had any at all since the program started. It's obviously, I guess the numbers just speak for themselves, that it obviously isn't, they don't get paid very much, because 5% only represents $175,000 for all the DPSOs in the state, so not much of an increase.
Motion is to adopt amendment number 4. Is there objection? There is objection. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Jacko.
Yes.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
Yes.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
No.
Representative Ballmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
No.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative McClain.
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
No. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to change my vote.
Representative Boyer?
Yes. Yes to no.
5 yeas, 6 nays.
Yes, I knew. System of Public Safety. Department of Revenue. Department of Revenue, amendment number 1 by Representative Mackey. Is there anyone here from the Department of Revenue?
Looks like a fairly good amendment.
It looks like a good one.
Has anyone moved it?
No one has moved it, no.
don't.
Representative Brown.
What is constitutional budget reserve? What increment is he referring to?
Unless he's a bond consultant.
I know there was an increment for that.
I'll move it for purposes of discussion.
Okay. We discuss what the impact of this is.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Rod Morant, Special Assistant to Commissioner of Natural Resource, or I'm sorry, Revenue. I forgot what I was saying. I move around so much. The department has no position on this proposed decrement. We had seen the amendment prior to the hearing. The effects of the amendment would be, in fact, to cut down a degree, $50,000 worth, the amount of counseling and advice and effort that we spend on both the investment and investment advice that we give as bond counsel in the bond counsel area, as well as in the investment of the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund.
Mr. Chairman, didn't we consider this one person that dealt with bonding? Is this the same person?
Mm-mm.
Different.
Bond counsel is attorneys that they hire to give them advice.
It is contractual money.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barnes.
I've looked at all these amendments in this package, and I believe most of them is by you. Why don't you just move them as one amendment, and if anybody has any objections to them, we could object that way.
Well, the first one is not by me, and it's already been moved. Is there objection?
Yes.
There is objection?
Mm-hmm.
There's objection.
Chairman, could I just clarify on the record that this is an increment? That is to say that it is above and beyond what you're spending right now for bond counsel? Okay.
Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
No.
Representative Ulmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
No.
I don't want the increment, so I want to vote no, right?
This is not an increment.
This is a reduction.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jackson.
No.
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
Representative Kay.
Yes.
7-8, 4-8.
Amendment number 2.
Why don't you just move 2 through 7?
I'd like to take one at a time, Mr. Chairman.
Move amendment number 2.
Object slow.
There's objection. I do have a letter from the department. They have seen all the amendments, and their position is that revenue loss associated with these reductions will total approximately $21 million. I guess I don't agree with that necessarily. And in this oil and gas tax case review, it's my understanding that the estimated tax payment regulation will reduce the demand on the oil and gas review. It's also my understanding that the computer system that they have here doesn't work anyway. Excuse me. Okay, the new I was on the wrong amendment. This one is a decrement that these positions are currently being applied to a CSED and a permanent fund dividend. Is that correct?
No. The oil and gas tax case review is within the commissioner's office. Part of the money, which is not included in this amount, the 176.9, goes to hearing officer support. The remaining contractual funds are used for a number of different items supporting the oil and gas case tax case review
function within the commissioner's office. This includes professional services such as court reporters and the other associated funding to support the hearing process itself. It also includes if we need hearing rooms or and the associated supply cost, contractual services for the hearing process itself.
This decrement would leave in the 176.9 for hearing officer support and 35,000 for court reporter costs. And does the new MOU between the Department of Law and the Department of Revenue reduce or shift to the Department of Law more of the burden for this type of activity?
Not specifically. The MOU will allow the Department of Law to assist with the actual preparation of the case, or will encourage the Department of Law to assist with the preparation of the case for the formal hearing process, but it does not move the formal hearing process itself to the Department of Law. That process that this partially funds will remain within the Commissioner's Office of the Department of Revenue. So many of the associated costs will remain as well. I was just going to add, in the past, I believe 3 years, this has taken about a $100,000 decrement in this particular section.
I'll call the question.
Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
Yes.
Representative Hall.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jacob. Yes. Representative Cunningham.
Yes. Representative
Barnes.
Yes.
98 to
9. I'll move amendment number 3. Objection. There is objection.
Do we have the department speak on it?
Yes.
Certainly. During the fiscal year 1992, the Income and Excise Audit Division had a significant vacancy factor in excess of $300,000. To avoid laying off a position during that period of time, and because child support enforcement was required to implement HB 43. When they implemented HB 43, there was a great deal of complicated financial transactions that needed to be analyzed and the whole system implemented. They provided through an RSA for approximately 8 months a position to assist with that implementation. This offset the vacancy factor and budget deficit to the point that there was not this position didn't this or another comparable position did not have to be laid off. It is anticipated that this position will return to the Income and Excise Audit Division and will in fact perform the a full caseload auditing function during fiscal year 93. In fact, reducing this position would reduce the income and audit function.
Okay. It's further estimated, if I could, Mr. Chairman, it's further estimated that when this position returns to its full audit function in fiscal year 93, should it be eliminated, it will result in delay collection of over $750,000 of state revenues. So
it will result in delayed collection?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. And I want to ask a question on this, and that is, I'm not sure if I quite followed your argument there. It was moved to CSED. The position was moved to CSED so that you wouldn't have to lay off a position in income and excise audit?
Well, it wasn't actually moved. It was on an RSA to CSED. They needed the services of a CPA. And we didn't have enough money because of the high vacancy factor in income and excise. We'd have had to lay somebody off.
So you just moved the position and not the money?
No. CSED gave income and excise the money to pay for this position for part of the year. That's all.
I will withdraw the amendment. Is there objection? Amendment number four, I'll move amendment number four.
Object. You could have the department.
There's objection.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, in two previous audits, both in an independent audit and as well as a legislative audit by the legislative auditor, in fact, recommended that the division, that Treasury, have a separate data processing manager to analyze and adapt the system, the computer system that's within that division's operations. Elimination of this position, which has been recommended by, like, as I mentioned, two separate audit cases, you know, would result in us still not having that independent data processing capability.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, this statement says that there is not sufficient work in Treasury to justify a full-time position. Is that true or false?
I believe that is.
That's simply not the case.
Not
sir.
The case.
Right. The division. Treasury management has a lot of work in the data processing area, both on its lands and on its individual computer systems that need doing.
One thing, because of the land computer system interfaces, it is essential that it be functional continuously. So if it's down for 15 minutes, it's a critical point of time, you could lose a great deal of investment or revenue enhancement capability. So we certainly need somebody that's available on a full-time basis for that function.
Okay. The data processing manager position is in Treasury management. Do you have a management position in your data processing section already?
Within the administrative services division, there is a data processing manager.
And is there some of those data processing people work within the Treasury data processing system, is that correct?
At this time, the Administrative Services Division is providing very minimal support to the Treasury section. There's not the resources in the data processing in Administrative Services to provide full-time support to Treasury as well.
The data processing service, Mr. Chairman, that's currently being applied by the Division of Admin Services to the remainder of the agency is at this time, in fact, insufficient, and there are long delays. For instance, I can speak to my personal need. When I go to print a letter on my PC, because of the way the system operates today and because it needs work today, there's a delay of as much as 15 minutes from the time I broadcast that letter to the printer and it's actually produced.
So is this position will actually be supervising someone then?
It will not supervise individual people. It will supervise the data processing management within Treasury, not individual.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Sharp?
No.
Representative Ballmer?
No.
Representative Boyer?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Gacko?
No.
Representative Kokanen?
No.
Representative Martin?
No.
Representative Barr?
Yes.
Representative McKay?
Yes.
Representative Boyer?
Yes.
Four yay, seven nay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go back to amendment number three that you withdrew, and I'd like to move that amendment.
Amendment number three. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Sharp.
Yes.
Representative Palmer.
No.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Bard.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
No.
Representative Jacko.
No.
Representative Kopanen.
No.
Representative Larson? No. Representative Phillips? Yes. Representative
McClain?
Yes.
Representative Navarre?
Yes.
Representative
Sharp? Yes.
3 yay, 5 nay. Excuse me, 6 yay, 5 nay.
Thank you. Amendment number three is adopted. Amendment number five. I'll move amendment number five. And ask the department what impact this one would have?
The administration and support within the Department of Revenue, which is, includes both the Commissioner's Office and Administrative Services, in the past year has done some reorganization internally to maintain the same level of service to the remainder of the divisions. Neither the Commissioner's Office nor the Administrative Services Division requested any increments in this fiscal year, and so in order to offset the vacancy or the cost of living increase, they have had to do some, like I said, juggling. The net result of that juggling was that workload was redistributed, and this administrative service position or assistant position was moved from the Commissioner's Office to Administrative Services with some of the associated workload. It was actually reclassified downward one range, so this was a savings. In addition, the commissioners in the Commissioner's Office, the assistant commissioner position was downgraded to a special assistant. Any further reductions from the level we're at now, such as this decrement, would impact and would reduce the ability for the administrative services to provide necessary support to the other divisions. And the other divisions would have to pick up the workload themselves.
Representative Larson.
I just object to the motion.
There is objection. Secretary, call the roll.
I know who Double Lot 6 is.
Representative Covenant.
Or Triple Lot, actually. Come back to me later.
Representative Larson.
No.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
No.
Representative Barnard.
No.
Representative Boyer.
No.
Representative Barnes.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jacko.
No.
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
Representative
Cummings. Yes.
Representative Covenant.
No.
4
yeas,
7
nay. Amendment number 6, so I'll move amendment number 6 and ask the department for an analysis of whether or not this is a necessary position any longer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this position is located within the Commissioner's Office. It is located in Anchorage. The Assistant Commissioner was located in Anchorage, and when the position was downgraded, it was transferred to Juneau. This position in Anchorage remains as a presence to coordinate the workload of the divisions that are currently located in Anchorage. And assist the commissioner during his frequent travels to Anchorage. As you're, I'm sure, aware, the commissioner sits on a number of boards and corporations and spends a great deal of time in Anchorage doing those, performing those services. Again, as with the previous amendment, any reduction in the service would require that there be associated decreases in services from the commissioner's office to the board's commissions and staff in Anchorage.
Is there further discussion?
Question.
Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jacko.
No.
Yes.
Amendment number 7.
I'll object to that. And the reason for my objection is that we...